Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Man TV. It is the build-up show. We are playing West Ham at the weekend. Ross joins me, as does Chris Pager. Gents, and more specifically, Chris Pager.
Hi, Paul. I'm feeling it.
I'm poorly. Oh. But it's fine.
That's not though, is
that's
it?
That's maybe feel like... Yeah, really on edge. Normally it's fine.
Yeah, sound, lad.
Back to reality this weekend, Chris. You know, we've had a couple of weeks of, you know, building up to the Champions League, then some time of smashing Porto, then basking in the glory of smashing Porto in between being stuck in Portugal.
I don't know. We got to, you know, sun it up for 6 minutes outside Barcelona airport.
Did we?
Not really.
No, because it wasn't great weather in Barcelona either. And then we've kind of had this week where I've just, again, just kind of stumbling around a little bit of a post-Champions League days. But West Ham United, David Moyes... back on his old stomping grounds. It doesn't get much more real than this, really, does it?
No, not at all. Like David Moyes, he's not beating us at Anfield. I just remembered I got the agenda in my arse pocket, Paul. I wrote down some stats. I did some research. Because, you know, I've got the agenda more than a minute before we come down to film. David Moyes has drawn 7 and lost 7 against Liverpool at Anfield.
Since a little record, did you really have to get your paper off?
I've got loads.
All right, so
I'm going to intersperse them like magic dust throughout the shot. You'll be able to tell when I'm doing it because the sheet comes out of my ass pocket and I'll do this.
Sad. Yeah, it's one of those games, isn't it, Ross, where, you know, let's call it what it is. We've got a lot of these games between now and the end of the season. It's very hard to... You'd be falling on senseless hyperbole to try and beef up this match to any more important than it has. We've got a lot of important games, but we haven't got too many games against teams that are massive rivals and what have you. The point about this one is, with how our rivals' fixtures fall this weekend, we've got a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. Great opportunity to put a few points on the board before everyone else goes and cuts each other's throats.
Yeah, and I think more so in recent games, we tend to have learnt from those lesser teams and the lower block sides, and loads of people have mentioned game management, but I think the past 2-3 games for me, Southampton, definitely Porto, and I think there was one in between that. You know, we just look a more rounded team. Virgil van Dijk's grown into his place, Lewis Karius has grown into his space. And, you know, when you play like West Ham, you think we need these 3 points because, like you said, the other people that are around you, it's so close in the top, I don't know, maybe four or five. You need to take advantage of that and capitalise on other people as well.
And this is a Liverpool side that owe West Ham something as well, isn't it? You know, the last 3 times we've played at Anfield, I think they've won one, drawn 2, something like that, haven't they? And it's absolutely on there. This time I learnt my lesson. I read it while Ross was talking.
Oh, yes.
Like that.
You weren't listening to me.
Shut up. Of course, I was listening to you babbling on about something to do with the Reds being boss and West Ham being rubbish under David Moyes, basically. Listen, Moyes has done a good job with them so far. I remember speaking to Nicky from West Ham Fan TV a few weeks ago and him saying like they're a lot fitter than they used to be. I had a quick look at it, and that Masuka and Antonio are second and third in the league in dribbles attempted per game. And I thought that was a really random stat from a David Moyes team as well. Like, you know what I mean? And I know that Arnautovic has been involved in quite a few goals, hasn't he? I think it's I think he scored 7 and assisted 3 since Moyes took charge or something like that. So he's a bit of a danger man for them as well.
I mean, what's telling is that he seems to be getting a tune out of what he's got.
You're loving that, getting a tune out of, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
3 times on the Reds News Roundup show yesterday, you said it.
Did I?
Yeah, you're loving it.
It's weird how that creeps into language. You have expressions that you use and they enter into your short-term memory and then you just say them over and over and over again. Like, for example, if you said the word flange, guarantee you'd find a way to work flange in. Just stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that avid viewers.
It tends to follow with swear words once you've said one.
Yeah.
They're there.
Like what? Doesn't matter. Arnautovic is up and running. It's interesting. I had a bit of a debate with, I think it was Ped the other day about him, and people saying he's a bit of a match of the day player. Whereas I like him. He tears around the place. He causes problems. He should probably have more goals than he has. You know, he's not necessarily a clinical finisher. But I mean, him and Andes are both on 7 league goals apiece. They both managed to score in the win against Watford, which in itself was a little bit of a surprise, you know, given that Watford have actually turned a little bit of a corner in recent weeks. Kind of stopped the rot for West Ham as well. So they've not been great. They've not flown this season, but
they're just picking up a few points, aren't they?
No, but they're 12th in the league. And I'm not sure whether that's because the fact that they've only won 1 in 5 tells you everything you need to know about that middle section of the Premier League and why, really, as much as it's David Moyes and as much as he'll want to get something, as much as West Ham have a degree of hoodoo against us at Anfield over the last, probably the last 10 years.
Do you know, before that, it was 45 games since they won at Anfield.
Decent.
45 games before that 3. So can we just go back to that, please?
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? And this Liverpool, Ross, you know, finally before we move on, is that we've got so many of these type of games between now and the end of the season. Our away form's been great. We need to get the home form back to that kind of level.
Yeah, I think that Arnautovic stuff, sorry, just going back to that, he brings character to a team, doesn't he? Which I think, if you look at where Stoke are now, and we spoke before the match about before the programme about Needle and aggression. I mean, that's what he brings to them. And I think, like you said, he can cause problems for us. But like I said before, I like to think that through previous games, we've learned how to deal with that. I think even in Porto, the first 10-15 minutes, we soaked up pressure, which we don't normally haven't been able to do so far this season, and then hit people on the break. And with these lower block sides, that's what we need to try and do.
Definitely, there is something where I remember looking into the stats earlier on in the week about the times that Liverpool can see goals and stuff, and for a large proportion of the season, the time when we concede the most goals is the last 15 minutes of the game. And it still is the highest, but we've not conceded a really late goal, apart from like Tottenham, obviously, in the league a couple of weeks. But we're starting to root out those little errors, and we're starting to just become more patient throughout our play.
Yeah.
And, you know, Porto's a great example. We soaked that pressure up, and then we just hit them. But what I expect is it's going to be a completely different game against West Ham. We're going to take the ball, and the onus is going to be on us, and it's going to be on that front three. And I think you saw with the movements of Mane and Firmino and that interchangeability that we've seen a little bit more over the last few weeks than just Salah and Firmino, that we're going to work both of these players in from wide positions now. And you know, Mane got a hat-trick against Porto, but the previous games, how many headers did he have in front of goal where he could have scored?
Yeah.
He's turning that corner, and it's just the... It's just a slight change to how we play football at the moment, but we're freeing him up a lot more, and teams are having to focus on Mo Salah because, you know, second top scorer in the league and stuff. So West Ham are going to have a tough day at Anfield, because we're going to want to celebrate what the lads did in Porto as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only concern is this is one of those games, and we'll see if this is borne out in people's preferred 11s in a moment, but where we've struck that balance between attack and defence. We've had to fine-tune that as the season's gone on. There would be a massive temptation with this game for us to crank it up maybe a bit too far. We know they do have the ability to hurt you, so we'll have to see what Jürgen goes with. But yeah, we're doing preferred 11s in a moment. Before then, did a fantastic show on the RedmenTV.com this week. Stee has alternated things slightly. Normally the Reds news roundup, it became the Reds question roundup, answering your questions about everything Liverpool FC.
Loan wise, if you know the team's loan players, I'll bring them back. And it's been a while that Liverpool have ever done that. Like Harry Kane went on loan to 10 different places. And now he's Tottenham's best player. It's very rare that Liverpool get anything out of loans, you know, unless they're like really, really young kids. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to think. Usually a loan from Liverpool means that you're done. I wonder if that's going to change now because Harry Wilson's out on loan, Gruitch is out on loan, Ajari is out on loan. I wonder if they've kind of wisened up to the fact that, you know what, it doesn't mean that's the end of your career. I hope that's.
I think we've set precedent, haven't we, with the manager to say, by and large, provided you work your bollocks off in training, you'll always get another go. It's something Paul Tompkins referenced in the article on the website from the Klopp book from Rafa Honigstein about that, is that people always felt with Jürgen that he'd always be prepared to give you another opportunity if you were prepared to seize that opportunity. So he's got, these lads have all got the best chance there's ever been at Liverpool of coming back into this side. The only other close example, the only other example where it's worked, sort of, was probably Shelvey. Perfect. Yeah, if you want to go and get involved, do watch that show. I say he does it every single week, everything you need to know about the Reds. And obviously, as the season progresses as well, we head towards it being the Reds transfer roundup, getting some really, really good show. Steve, it's top quality. You can get down a whole host of other things for just £5 a month or free for the first month if you've not tried it before. So get involved. Preferred 11s then, gentlemen? Chris has flipped. He's gone for the flip, but we'll start with Ross. Ross has brought... You've brought Joe Gomez and Joel Matip back into your back four.
Yeah, do you know what? I really struggled with this throughout the whole team. Maybe the front three and Karius, but actually, not thinking about it. Well, I debated putting Danny Ings in because I think it might be a good game for him to start. To be fair, but then I thought, well, you don't need a rest. Just 10 days off. That's why.
Who did you put up front? What does that say?
It's Bobby. Looks like it says Booby there.
Salah, Booby Mane.
Salah, Booby Mane. Yeah. Equally, I thought debated Klein. Is it a good game for him to start, or do you bring him on and give him half an hour? This one, half an hour against Newcastle, and then I don't know.
You struggled with your bees there, lad, haven't you? Look at Robbo as well.
I did a little bees, and then I had to put it all in capitals. You know what? Funny enough, Chris, I got distracted whilst writing this before.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
Well, you shouldn't have eaten a cream egg when you were writing something.
You should have been so abusive. I'll eat it how I want to eat it.
Sound. I think, you know, Chris, you've gone for Trent at the back. I think
I've gone for capitalised bees as well.
It's a good solid start.
But small eyes only for me.
But dots on your eyes.
You got to sometimes, haven't you? I went with Matip in there because I think we'll need his balls into the forwards and into the just his big balls into the wingers and stuff. And I like the fact that when we're playing a bit more of a side that are going to sit in and stuff, Joel Matip could be that guy that breaks them down. Similarly, that's why I went with Trent as opposed to Gomez. My midfield three, that was where I struggled, much like Ross, to be honest. I want to see Lallana start a game of football. Mm-hmm. And I like that Hendo Chan thing. Flipped for how Ross has done it.
Yeah, but just Chan's to clarify, there is precisely 0% chance that we'll see Emre Can hold him while Jordan Henderson's in particularly in that side of
looks
the
looks like
field.
He's extended his A there as well. What do you think? Did you? You I did, didn't know. You?
I always extend my A. I just think Chan's a better six. I think he's better in the six.
No, I don't. I mean, I completely disagree for this type of game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you're entitled to be...
You're entitled to your opinion, but I'm hosting the show, so I'm going to talk now for a little bit, and you're not going to get to express why you've got your opinion. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
sample. You don't need to do that anymore. I've done it for you.
We give you too much, Ross. I'm so sorry. We're so mean to you. But what he's picked, stupid, Chris. There's no evidence to suggest.
He's entitled to his opinion, and maybe I'd like to hear why he'd like to see Endo in these. I don't, because he's totally fucking wrong, by the way.
This is the thing. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but that doesn't mean you're a special snowflake above criticism. You're wrong. You're dead. Look, here's the thing. We said a couple of weeks ago, I'd like to see Jordan Henderson let loose a little bit, and I agree. I think Emre Can is a much more solid base. I actually would not... It's weird. I wouldn't like to see Emre Can really in that team. I would like us to go a bit braver. I would like to put Lallana and Oxlade-Chamberlain in the midfield, or keep Jimmy Wijnaldum in there.
We need Wijnaldum.
That's his porn star name. Successful. That being said, there's simply no chance Emre Can doesn't come back in, because he's missed a game. He's now hasn't played a game for 2 weeks. And what you were saying, I don't think we'll see too much rotation, because we need to keep people in the flow of playing football. So Emre Can will go in. So I would prefer to see him, if only because... Not because of the style of play, not necessarily because of what he brings to the team, but because I want him up and running for when we need him.
I must admit, I have tempered my preferred 11 with what I think's likely a little bit today, mm-hmm. but you just mentioned the midfield that I'd probably like to see, and that would be Ox and Lallana. Yeah. So I want to know if Ox has got that ability to be that box-to-box player like a Wijnaldum or an Emre Can. I haven't seen it from him yet, but I do think it's there, and I think he needs a little bit of a boost in confidence. He's not been very good coming off the bench at all, mm-hmm. but when he started games for us, he's been really good. I'd like to see him start, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think, again, the reason why I've gone with Trent at fullback and Matip as well is just because it's going to be one of those games. We're going to be tasked with breaking them down. And we did this actually on the Reds question roundup, didn't we? We talked about the centre-half partnerships. And the conclusion that we've kind of come to is Matip's likely to start the games where you need to break teams down, and Lovren will be there when you need someone to throw the body on the line.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I've grown up with football thinking that you need a centre-back partnership, and I still probably believe that, but Klopp's kind of showing me that you don't. You know, we've been able to put our horses down for different courses at the moment, and, you know, Lovren coming in for those big games and putting his body on the line has been brilliant, and Matip just... the control and the measured passes that he's able to play against teams that are sitting back a little bit. It's a really great option. If Van Dijk can strike a partnership with both of them, we'll be in a really good position.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more comfortable with that rotation since Karius has been made number one.
Yeah,
I think that was the problem.
Yeah, well, I'd say, well, it'd be an interesting one for Karius as well, because this game last season, you know, it was terrible positioning for the free kick, and that really knocked him in the eyes of a lot of Liverpool fans. That was the kind of beginning of the end for him as well. Like, so, you know, big test for him, to be sure. Just looking again around the league, as mentioned, everyone plays on Sunday this week. So you got Crystal Palace hosting Spurs as the 12:00 kickoff, followed by Man United versus Chelsea, and then the League Cup final of Arsenal versus Man City. That clutch of fixtures there, Chris. I mean, I would expect Spurs to come through against Palace, but that'll be a tough physical encounter for them, to be sure. United-Chelsea, there isn't a result there that is bad for Liverpool, because someone around us is going to drop points. And equally, I don't really care about the league. Come on, we're not there, we're not in it, so I don't care about it. If Arsenal win it, then, you know, it takes the shine off Man City a little bit. If Man City win it, then Arsenal are plunged even further into yet more massive crises. You'll have their players coming out left, right and centre, and just, you know, wearing, you know, bulletproof gear with, you know, I hate Arsenal Fan TV written on it.
I can't wait for it. Like, full disclosure, we're going to Arsenal Fan TV's fifth birthday party on Tuesday. They lose the cup final. I might go in a Man City shirt.
That's
going
to be like a week, mate, if they don't win that game. My God. Yeah, that would be a very interesting one indeed. Ross, how do you think that if you had to put a couple of quid on it, how would you bank them fixtures to go?
You fancy Spurs, wouldn't you? They're in fine form at the minute.
Fine fettle.
I think they're probably joint second/third best team in the league, if I'm honest. Yeah. If they've got the full squad out. Man United, Chelsea, I don't know. I'd like to have a draw and just have them kick the crap out of each other and lose a few players. And then League Cup final. Same thing. Just.
So what are you doing? Is this a request a bet? Because you've gone into the bookies and gone, I'd really like to put money on them kicking the crap out of each other.
Five red cards in each game. Both teams to score.
Perfect.
Someone to die.
Loads of injuries.
Get a nugget out. Well, we won't be doing those kind of things, but you will be predicting first goal scorer in the starting 11 this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so if you want to see how Chris actually goes with his starting 11, do check out that show, of course. Yeah.
I want to predict who I think will win. I think...
Didn't we do this on the podcast? I mean, by all means, repeat yourself.
I'm going to. I want a Chelsea win. I think I've changed my mind after watching Chelsea last night. I think they're going to be very, very tired after that game. But I think it's going to be a draw.
Why do you want a Chelsea win?
What was that noise?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was the noise, wasn't it?
Couldn't replicate it with his elbow. Funny that.
What's that smell?
Cream egg. Why do you want a Chelsea win?
Because I think we're best. I want to finish above Manchester United.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, it's a solid reason.
And Chelsea can mess up against anyone, whereas Man United are a little bit more consistent.
That's a decent shout. It's win-win for us, really, isn't it? You know, again, Chris and I discussed it on the podcast. If you listen to it, then thank you very much. If not, then go and search out the Redman TV podcast. There's a part of you that's the little fearful part of you that wants as many... You want Arsenal, and if it's going to be Chelsea, fine, sound, whatever, to implode, just so we can go... Just so we, you know, because I honestly don't want us to have to preference something, and I feel like we might have to preference an approach in a couple of weeks' time, depending on if we get through past Porto and obviously how the quarterfinals draws goes and what have you. It would be nice not to have to chase every single point between now and the end of the season. But I agree that I would much prefer. I think it stands us in far better stead for the season moving next season to be able to say. We were the team that ran City the closest.
Yeah, you know what? I've not thought about it like that, Paul. And you raise a really interesting point. And I suppose the follow on from it would be the team that are going to struggle to get through the most are going to be Chelsea in the Champions League. So maybe we should want a Manchester United win because they're probably not going to have as many games between now and the end of the season as the rest, as they will just have to preference the Premier League because I'd guess Barcelona are going to beat them.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting stuff. Yeah, Leslie, your thoughts on it. What do you want actually? Yeah, do you want a Man United? What score or what outcome would you prefer most in the Man United-Chelsea game? Let us know that in the comments below. That would be great. Before we go, got an amazing competition prize. Ross, switch on. What were you looking at?
What?
What are you reading?
Thinking about that cream egg.
Yeah. Ross, do you want to just tell the wonderful viewers at home what this is and how they can go about winning it?
Yep, so it's a signed...
Yeah.
Okay. Question to talk about.
That is a frame with a signed Steven Gerrard picture from Istanbul 2005. We're giving it away as a competition. If you go onto our Twitter, you'll see it there at the top of our tweet. It's given away by A1 Sports Memorabilia. The details of the video for the competition are on our Twitter. You can win that. It's got a certificate of authenticity. It's absolutely brilliant. It's the desktop image that I had for years and years and years on my old computer at home. One of my favourite Liverpool pictures ever, signed by the man himself. And you could win it completely free. No catches. You've just got to retweet something and follow someone and you could win that. How boss is that like?
Yeah, simple as that. So yeah, at the Redmen TV on Twitter, get over, win yourself a signed Steven Gerrard picture. Amazing. If you think Liverpool can turn over Moyes' hammers, drop a like on this video right now. Subscribe to the Redmen TV YouTube channel for more. And we shall be back. Chris will be doing the starting 11 prediction and we'll be back this weekend with all the post-match content.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.